Good morning. This is Rochester Speaks. We thank you for joining us. The Susan B. Anthony House was the home of one of the world's most well-known feminist, suffragist, and civil rights leaders. The National Susan B. Anthony Museum and House interprets the legacy of Susan B. Anthony to inspire and challenge individuals to make a positive difference in their lives and communities. And the Susan B. Anthony House annual birthday luncheon is coming up. We are joined again this year by President and CEO of the National Susan B. Anthony Museum and House, Deborah Hughes. Deborah, welcome back.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
So are we settled on a name now? We got the Susan B. Anthony Museum and House?
Yeah, our trademark name is the National Susan B. Anthony Museum and House.
So we're settled on that now?
We are.
Okay, that's good. And how long have you been there now?
We've been on Madison Street since 1945.
But how long have you been there?
Oh, it'll be 10 years in August.
Oh, wow.
I know. Time's flying by, Kevin.
They're going to have a big party for you, no doubt.
Oh, all right. That'd be great.
I think a lot of remarkable things about Susan B. Anthony. One I know I talk about every year is the fact that she lived until she was 86 years old, which in today's time would be pretty good.
It would be. And that she was working till the month before she died.
Right.
Still touring around the country, making speeches, was sharp as she could be.
What did she attribute her long life to?
Well, she was a little bit of a health nut. She ate oatmeal every morning for breakfast, so that we know was good for heart health. She believed in eating fruit. She loved peaches and raspberries in particular. She didn't like to have a heavy meal after dinner. A lot of people ate quite late, had really heavy food. She didn't believe in that. She thought we should take naps whenever we could. She sometimes took hers in the train station.
Mm.
And she also believed in walking. So she'd get home and walk home from the train station, maybe that depot that we now all know you can get a garbage plate at Nick Tahoe's or
right.
One of the stations. And she'd walk home to her house and always wanted to get out and about.
And up until she did pass, you mentioned she was working. She was very active. And a few weeks before she died, she gave her famous Failure is Impossible speech. Can you give us some details about that?
Right. She went down to Baltimore, and it was the opening of Congress again. And every year they were reintroducing the idea of the amendment that would grant women the right to vote. They used to say that with Susan B. Anthony showing up in her red shawl, she was like the robin in spring. And so she went. They had a fundraiser around her birthday, which is the tradition that we continue to this day. And she was the big speaker at that event.
Right. And Susan and Frederick Douglass were not only Rochesterians, but they were also friends, which is kind of significant.
They were. Both of them had what we would call a reformer's heart. And they called themselves reformers. If they saw something that needed to be changed, they applied everything they could to make it change.
Right, right. And by today's standards, she actually was a bit of a traveler, too.
Oh, my goodness. There were some years she logged 8,000 miles, and she didn't do any of that by airplane, of course.
Right.
It was a combination in the early years. It was buckboard and sleigh when she was traveling around New York State. In later years, she did a whole lot of her travel by train, and she even rode once in a motor car.
Hmm. And her main agenda throughout her life and throughout her travels was women's rights, but it extended a bit more beyond that.
Right. Once when a reporter asked her if she was all about women, she said that no, it was about all human rights, but if you can change the world for half the population, why not start there?
Yeah. So how did she make a living then? Did she get paid for speeches?
She did get paid for speeches. In the early years, she'd buy her train ticket, usually travel with another person. They'd arrive. They'd rent a hall, they'd sell tickets, and they'd hope to raise enough money through that or through an offering to buy the ticket to the next stop.
And on the brink of her 197th birthday, what do you think she would think about her legacy?
You know, she said, when I'm gone, if there's a funeral, then pass by and get on with the work. So she would say, don't stop and worship me by any means. Get on with work for human rights and justice. And she did have a lot to say about pay equity, about access to health care, about child care and support for women and families. A lot of our social issues today are issues she talked about in the 19th century, and she'd tell us we should keep on doing that work that was important to her.
And we certainly still remember her. I mean, it's still, obviously, as Rochesterians, she's kind of a little more top of mind than elsewhere, but still all over the world. You ask the name Susan B. Anthony to people, and they pretty much know what she was about.
That was the amazing thing. You know, on Election Day this fall, we had 10,000 people show up, and I think all of us were surprised at how many people were connecting the dots between that election and the work that Susan B. Anthony had done more than 100 years ago.
Right.
It was a thrill for me when the BBC called to get a little interview that day. And you're right. The rest of the world knows Susan B. Anthony, and they connect with her. Her legacy is, if anything, more relevant, and she's better known than she was 50 years ago.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. Election Day, not too long ago, back in November, something very special happened at a gravesite. How much of what was planned and how much just ended up snowballing, kind of blossoming almost a little bit out of control?
Well, there were a lot of different partners who were part of that. You know, the city was ready to launch their Because of Women Like Her campaign, and they had those wonderful stickers that you could get if you put your I Voted Today sticker. You got an exchange for Susan B. Anthony on the Because of Women Like Her sticker. I think I heard that they printed 2,000 at first, so clearly we underestimated the number of people who would come and be interested in those stickers. On the other hand, Mount Hope Cemetery and the City of Rochester did an amazing job of being prepared for the crowds, even extending the hours, having staff there who could help people stay organized. Yeah. But the mood that day in the cemetery was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
People were so patient with each other. There were people of all ages, all genders, you know, every shape and size of human being came out that day, and it was pretty powerful.
How many people did you figure showed up that day at her gravesite?
The estimate I heard was 10,000.
10,000.
But that doesn't even begin to touch the number of people who tuned in. One local television personality had it on Facebook, and 23 million people tuned in there.
Yeah. So that was kind of unplanned too, right? Just
yes.
How that sort of went viral?
Exactly. It's a little bit like every town that has a local hero. We forget how important that person is to the rest of the world. Sometimes we take it for granted. The world just reminded us that day.
Yeah. And it was John Kutchko. We can talk about John.
John was great.
How long was he there for? And then
14 hours.
14 hours. And, of course, the story would have had a little, I don't know, better ending. I got to be careful here. If the other candidate won the presidential election?
Yeah. You know, we had a plan always that we would meet at 8 o'clock the next day because, as a museum, we're not partisan and we can't support any particular candidate. And we know Susan B. Anthony would say, okay, pass by and get on with the work. And every day after an election, there's always a lot of work to do if we're going to become the society Susan B. Anthony believed in.
Right. So the house itself, you mentioned it's on Madison Street. It's been a National Historic Landmark since 1966, but there was a time between when Susan lived there and then her sister lived there, and then the National Historic designation, when it was a bit of a family home and then in bit disrepair for a while?
Yeah, well, they left it in 1907. There were two women in the movement who inherited it. They sold the house pretty early on, thinking that they could be doing more for the cause either in Washington, D.C. or New York, rather than being here in Rochester. And it became a boarding house on Madison Street. And the neighborhood has had ups and downs, economic ups and downs. In Susan B. Anthony's time, it was the heart of an industrial neighborhood. There were lots of jobs there in the area. By the 1940s, one relative of Kate Gleason, when they were thinking of building the museum, which we called originally the Susan B. Anthony Memorial, the relative's comment was that we shouldn't buy this run-down house on a narrow lot in a Gondeseed neighborhood.
Hmm.
So that was 1945.
So the neighborhood literally has had ups and downs.
It has had ups and downs.
And now there's even some more revitalization happening over there too, slowly?
It is a wonderful neighborhood. It's what you want in a city neighborhood. It's incredibly diverse. The median household income is only in the low 20s in that neighborhood. So that tells you it's working class poor. But there are six-figure families that are there because of the history. We love the diversity, all the languages that are spoken, all the challenges that come with a city neighborhood.
Yeah. And now there's a 9-block Susan B. Anthony Preservation District?
Correct. That's a National Historic Preservation District. It may be the most intact 19th century neighborhood, certainly in New York, one of the most intact neighborhoods in the country.
Hmm. And that includes, obviously, the house and the museum, but also there's a statue kind of in the neighborhood?
And the statue is not historic. The statue was added in the 1990s. That's the statue of Susan B. Anthony and her friend Frederick Douglass having tea. It's called Let's Have Tea. Was created by Pepsi Ketevong, a local sculptor, and at that time his studio was right in the neighborhood. We also still have businesses that are operating over there in the neighborhood. You could walk to work from the neighborhood. We've got all kinds of redevelopment of West Main Street that the city's been working on, the more historic lights to the storefronts really coming back. It's a wonderful place to visit.
And she lived there between what years?
She lived there from 1866 till she died in 1906.
And she passed away there?
She did. She died upstairs in her bedroom in the back of the house.
She lived there? She was arrested there?
Yes. For a lot of people, that's the reason that we're their destination for a vacation.
Oh, really?
To come to that place where Susan B. Anthony was arrested in 1872.
But there's a little bit of a story behind that, right? I mean, she knew that that would probably be a pretty good thing.
Yeah, she's not the only one who attempted to register to vote in 1872. That was a national movement. They felt that the new 14th Amendment to the Constitution that said all people who are born here are citizens, granted women the right of citizenship, which is the right to vote. The interesting thing is a year later, the Supreme Court said that voting isn't a right, it's a privilege, and it's granted by each state. So that set us up to say the only way to assure that women couldn't be discriminated against for voting is to have a constitutional amendment. And so that's the Susan B. Anthony Amendment that we call the 19th Amendment.
Right. And your biggest fundraiser, the Susan B. Anthony House Annual Birthday Luncheon, is actually coming up on her birthday this year.
Her birthday, Wednesday, February 15th, 2017.
And this is something she did kind of annually anyway, right?
They had fundraisers around her birthday, a tribute to her, say thank you, Susan B. Anthony, and continue the work for the cause.
And your keynote speaker this year?
Is Ann Gordon, PhD. Ann is probably one of the leading sources on Susan B. Anthony, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, and women's movements in the 19th century. She organized a great project a number of years ago. She worked with several others, which was to have the papers of Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony all microfilmed together. There were over 202 libraries and government agencies who put periodicals, her scrapbooks, our letters, everything that we had from Susan B. Anthony was included in that project. And that's why we can celebrate suffrage centennials now. We can use this amazing microfilm as a source of primary documents that tell us about the history.
So I take it she's been in the area before.
She comes here as often as we can get her here. She's often come with the University of Rochester. She's done a lot of work there. She's an extremely well-respected scholar. She's also a very engaging speaker. And so it's about time that we have Ann Gordon here to talk about Susan B. Anthony.
Has she ever been to the luncheon itself?
As an attendee, I don't know. That's a great question.
Okay.
She's never been our speaker before.
Right.
And as I said, we should have had her by now. It's great. We're thrilled that in this year when New York State celebrates its centennial of women's suffrage, we get to have Ann Gordon be here as our speaker.
And last year you had Billie Jean King.
Yes. That was memorable.
Yeah. Was it sold out?
It was more than sold out. Billie Jean King was fabulous.
Yeah. Very cool. And ticket information and such for the luncheon?
Yep. People can get it on our website. That's www.SusanBAnthonyHouse.org. It's $75 for an individual ticket. People can get together with a bunch of friends and buy a table for $750. This is our major fundraiser of the year, so more than half of each ticket price actually supports all of our educational programs that we offer throughout the year.
Nice. And another big event that's coming up this year, you kind of mentioned that the New York State Suffrage Centennial is going to be celebrated. What is that going to include? And I know it's going to include some pretty cool stuff.
It does. I have the great honor of being a member of New York State's Suffrage Centennial Celebration Commission, even though that's hard to say, but I'm practicing.
You did it well.
Lieutenant Governor Hochul is the chair of that commission, and we have representatives from across the state. There is so much excitement, and activities are popping up all the time. Here in Rochester, of course, we're really kind of at the heart of it because of Susan B. Anthony. She wasn't here in 1917, but we like to think that we wouldn't be celebrating New York Suffrage Centennial if it hadn't been for all the work that she did before that.
Right. So that'll be in July?
In July, we're having a special event that we call Votilla. We are actually having an event on the canal. The New York State Canals begin their bicentennial celebration this year. If you come to Canal Days in Seneca Falls, the weekend of July 15th and 16th, then stay over. And in the morning of the 17th, we'll be launching three canal boats, historic boats, from Seneca Falls. And we have 30 reenactors who will be traveling by canal back to Rochester.
Mm.
We'll stop in Lyons, we'll stop in Fairport, we'll stop in Pittsford, and we'll land at Cornhill on Friday night with a big celebration.
So right now you anticipate there will be at least three boats, but probably more?
Correct. We already have a couple other organizations that have boats that are participating with us. Along the way, we have different events, so we invite 4-H groups and Girl Scout groups and Boy Scout groups and historical societies who want to plan events around this. I Love New York is promoting this event nationally and internationally. We want to draw people to our Finger Lakes region. It's a part of great economic development. We know people will come and do history and do all the other great stuff there is to do. So if you have friends or relatives who've been thinking about coming, this is a great year to do it. And they can experience the canal, you can ride your bike, you can see what's going on, learn a lot about history, and have a great time.
Now, if somebody owns a historic boat, would they be able to participate? And if so, how?
They would. If people are interested, they can email us at Votilla, that's V-O-T-E-T-I-L-L-A, at SusanBAnthonyHouse.org, and let us know what they're interested in, and we'll respond.
So the Votilla is going to start July 16th?
The 16th is the night that we get ready for the boats, but we actually formally launch the morning of the 17th.
Okay. And they'll be in Rochester with a few stops along the way on the 22nd?
On the 21st.
The 21st.
Yeah, Friday night. Hope to have fireworks over the Susan B. Anthony Frederick Douglass Bridge. And then on Saturday, we're going to have a parade. We'll go from the Rundell Library, where there will be a wonderful exhibit on New York State suffrage, and we'll end up at the Susan B. Anthony House.
Well, that should be good. Since Rochester loves its festivals, hopefully if the word gets out and people get excited about it, and I think they would, hopefully you'll have a nice bunch of people along the canal and at the celebrations you're going to have here, too.
Exactly. And we'll have more information about how people can participate in the parade, too. If they've got a band or a group or want to march, that information should be available after the luncheon on February 15th.
So once again, in July, it's the New York State Suffrage Centennial around the area. And on Wednesday, February 15th, it's the annual Susan B. Anthony House Birthday Luncheon, this year featuring keynote speaker Ann Dexter Gordon. If you'd like more information about what the Susan B. Anthony House and Museum does locally or any of these events, you can go to SusanBAnthonyHouse.org. And once again, we thank President and CEO of the National Susan B. Anthony Museum and House, Deborah Hughes. Thanks, Deborah. Have a great 2017. I know it's going to be busy.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's going to be very exciting.